Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord as it is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. So we pray. Sanctify us, Holy Father, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Jesus Christ, our risen and ascended Savior, dear Christian people, he has risen. He has ascended in glory to the right hand of the Father to fill all things in heaven and earth, to rule forever and ever as King of kings and Lord of lords. Aren't you happy for him? Isn't it wonderful? He has laid aside the veil of lowliness and meekness and humility. And he is now in both his human and divine natures what he was in his divine nature of alone before the foundation of the world. True, everlasting, eternal, almighty God. And so for 2,000 years almost, we stand with the disciples gazing up into heaven, wishing at the very least that perhaps, maybe just today, he would fulfill his promise and come back. Wouldn't it be wonderful if even now he swooped down over this beautiful altar and with his voice raised the dead, and lifted us all up to meet him in the sky, to sing forever and ever the chants and praises of saints and angels, to the Lamb who was slain and is victorious. Wouldn't it be nice? But he hasn't done that yet. Oh, he might still, but perhaps not. And what he's left behind for us seems so meager and shabby by comparison, does it not? What he's left behind in place of his visible presence is a book filled with words, some hard to understand. What he's left behind is a sprinkling of water on the heads of babies. What he's left behind is this paltry meal of the most common bread and a swallow of wine. Doesn't it seem, at first glance, rather shabby substitute for the visible presence of the ascended Christ? But maybe not. But still, when he gives us this time before his visible and physical return, he gives us this time to think about him, to ponder him in what he has left us behind. And when you do that, doesn't it just take your breath away? This little verse that you just heard, well, we've known that verse by heart almost all of our lives. But if you ponder it, if you think about it, if you chew on it and digest it, doesn't it just take your breath away? See how much he loved us. If you can't try to imagine during these few brief moments that you never heard this verse before, that this morning you are hearing it for the very first time, think what Jesus says to Nicodemus on that night when Nicodemus came to him. Thus, in this way, God loved the world. Who would have thought it? The world since the fall of Adam and Eve into sin has been nothing but a stinking sinkhole, and it gets worse year by year by year. Just read the paper, just turn on the news, just watch a television program, just look at the movie advertisements, and you see it. Rottenness, corruption, sin, vice, guilt of every kind, some that we can't even imagine a few years ago. And God loved that world? Who would have thought it? And you and I are part of that world that God loved. We still have the crushing weight and load of our sin and shame. We still have our petty little arguments and quarrels. We still have our greed and envy. We still have the memory of those sins which ought to bring us shame. We still have those pet sins which we clutch to our bosom and won't let go. And God loved that. It takes your breath away. Who would have thought it? But, talk is cheap. If you listen to a television or a radio talk show, many of them will conclude their program by saying they love us. Oprah probably says it. The televangelist says it. They love us. But talk is cheap. We'll ask them for $10 and see how much you get. Stop in when you're passing through town and you need a meal or a place to stay. You're in for a shock. It won't be there. Ask if you can use the car. You won't get past the front gate. And so when God says he loves us, well, that he loved the world, well, talk is cheap. How much does he love us? Well, Jesus says to Nicodemus that unlike all these other people who make it impossible for us to even have a clue what the word love means, because it's just whim. Jesus says God so loved the world that he gave what? Gave what? What's he going to give us? A beautiful summer day. A magnificent setting. Food enough to eat. Youth, health, wealth, time to enjoy hearth and home and dear friends. Maybe that's what he'll say, and that would be good and plenty. That would be certainly much more than any of us deserve because of our sin and guilt, for all we deserve is hell. If God would give us those things, we would have reason and reason aplenty to get down on our knees and thank him. But that's not what Jesus says. It's true, God gave us all those things. But vastly superior to all of them put together, Jesus goes on and he says, this is how much God loved us. God so loved the world this way that he gave what? His one and only Son. Oh, gasp in amazement. Gave his one and only Son. If you had 10 sons, you wouldn't give one of them up for a neighbor. You wouldn't give one of them up for your dearest friend. You certainly wouldn't give one of them up for a scoundrel like you. But this is how much he loved us. The world that he gave his one and only Son. We're celebrating the Ascension. And we see what that means at Ascension. He gave him, not as the Prussian field marshal to come down and root out all evil and vice with violence and a sword. Oh no, not that. Not as judge, jury, and executioner to visit on the world and on us in particular the punishment that we deserve for our sins. No, not that. He gave his one and only Son into the lowliness of that barn in Bethlehem, worshipped only by those lowly shepherds, and surely not well understood by them. He gave his one and only Son as Savior that way, Savior of the world, our Savior, the Savior who then trudges his long and lonely journey up to the altar of the cross, thinking about that world and everyone in it, thinking about you and thinking about me. He hangs there alone and abandoned on the cross. He suffers the torments of all that the damned deserve as he cries out for you, as he cries out for me, as he cries out for the world. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's how much he loved us. Doesn't it just take your breath away? God so loved the world that he gave and gave and gave his one and only Son as Savior. Oh, wait, just another minute. There's got to be a catch. There's always a catch. The devil promises us fabulous riches beyond our imagination, but there's a catch. Just buy a lottery ticket, and then another one, and another one, and another one, until you're absolutely destitute. The drug pusher and the booze salesman promise happiness, but there's a catch. Just take this and swallow that, and then do it again and again and again and again. You'll be happy. Of course, it's a lie, but the point is there's always a catch. God loved the world so that he gave his only Son as Savior. What's the catch? Jesus says that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. And that's not a catch. Believing isn't a doing. Believing is a receiving. Believing is a trust in the word of the one who said it. And God so fully understands the depth of our corruption, the totality of our depravity, that he doesn't even leave it to us to believe in him. Oh no, he comes in this word, he comes in that water, he comes in this bread and in this wine, and he creates in us this very believing, this very trust that he is God who has promised this, and God would not lie, as Luther loves to say, God would not lie or deceive us. That's how much he loved us, that he gave his one and only Son, and then gives us the gift of faith in which the heart heaves its sigh of he meant it on the altar of the cross when he cried out, "It is finished," for salvation is accomplished. It's all done. It's done perfectly. It's done completely. It's done by him. It's done by him alone. So that word quickens the heart again to embrace the message, to embrace the cross of Christ. Away with the self-righteous Pharisee who imagines he could deserve it. Impossible. Out of the question. Couldn't conceivably deserve the least shred of it or contribute the least part to it. Away with the despairing Judas who says, "No, my sin is too great. It can't be me. It can't mean me." God said, who does not lie, that he loved the world. Therefore you, therefore me, therefore none accepted. So much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should have everlasting life. And there's that everlasting life. It comes right back to the verb give, and it brings us right back to the Feast of the Ascension. When Jesus left, God didn't take the gift back. No, not at all. Quite to the contrary, when Jesus left, he keeps on being the one whom God has given for the salvation of the world. There he is, seated in glory at the right hand of the Father, ruling over all things, times and tide, and the nations of the earth, so that this word of the gospel which creates faith will not perish, so that that baptism will not disappear, so that that sacred meal in which he gives us himself, the very price of our salvation, in his true, real, substantial body and blood, will never be gone, never be finished, never be done, until the goal which he has set has been reached, and he comes again to swoop us up into his arms, to take us to be with him, and to enjoy the vision of his glory forever and ever and ever, because that's how long it's going to take, forever and ever and ever, for us to get to the bottom of this one simple verse, that God so loved the world this much in this way, that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shouldn't get what he deserves, shouldn't perish in time and in eternity, but have everlasting life. When you enjoy a beautiful day like this, and a wonderful gathering like this, when you enjoy the time that you have with one another today, when you enjoy family and friends, when you enjoy youth, when you enjoy old age and its fruits, think what a great God you have, that it is all as nothing in comparison with this. When temptation comes and the pet sins nag and gnaw, turn your mind again and again to the love of God and the gift of his one and only Son, just for the world and therefore just for you. When tribulations come like waves and you know not where to turn, whether up or down, this way or that, when sickness plagues, when the scourge of the flesh drives you into the valley of the shadow of death, and it's all over, with a smile on your face, call to mind these words: this is how much he loved me, that even in the valley of the shadow of death, he opens wide the bright door of the beatific vision, which he himself is. Doesn't it take your breath away? This is how much he loved us. Hear it again. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life.